We are now dealing with the one Spirit. And we began last week by saying that in the Old Testament, you have the story of Abraham sending out a servant for the sole purpose of seeking a wife for the son Isaac. And I truly believe that when you talk about the one Spirit, you're primarily, again, emphasizing that story found in the Old Testament. Only this time, it is God the Father who is sending forth the Holy Spirit, seeking a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. And we talked about this last week in the sense that not only does the Father want to produce or provide a bride for His Son, but that the Son Himself desires to have such a bride. Now, the servant that was sent forth by Abraham was told to secure a bride that would be suitable for Isaac. Now, I would imagine the son would like to have some kind of say about the bride he was going to be married to. In other words, if your father said to you, "I'm going to send my servant to fetch you a bride, and whatever he brings back, that's the girl you're going to marry." I believe before that servant left, I'd have a little talk with him and try to tell him the kind of girl that I'd like to have for my bride. And I believe Jesus had a great deal to say to the servant, who in this instance, of course, is the Holy Spirit. Before the Spirit came back on the day of Pentecost, I personally believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit talked over this matter of what kind of bride the Son wanted. It's my personal opinion that on the 40th day when Jesus ascended back into heaven, and I know somebody's going to disagree with this, but it's my view that the Holy Spirit went back to heaven with Jesus. And during that 10-day period from the ascension of Christ to the day of Pentecost, there's 10 days in there, Pentecost meaning 50 days following Passover. For 40 days Christ was on this earth. The last 10 days prior to Pentecost, Christ left this earth. And I believe the Holy Spirit left this earth with Jesus Christ. And there was no Holy Spirit upon the earth during this 10-day period. That's why the disciples were told to go to Jerusalem and don't do any ministry, don't do anything regarding the work of Christ. You just go there and you wait until Pentecost. And Jesus said, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will come down from heaven. Now, I believe He was there in heaven during that 10 days. And in my imagination, and I'll say this, my speculation, I believe that Jesus and the Holy Spirit spent part of that 10 days talking about the journey and the work and the plan that the Holy Spirit had to provide a bride for Jesus Christ. Now, that's my theory, and that's my belief, and I personally believe that it's a very scriptural one. And I hope that you'll find these messages fascinating. When I preached this in my church some years ago, I spent 3 weeks or 3 Sundays preaching on this very aspect of the Holy Spirit coming to secure a bride for Isaac, or at least for Jesus, not Isaac. And I thought, well, I cannot condense 3 sermons into a 26-minute talk, so I'll just have to extend this to one more Sunday and take up again next Sunday this same theme outside of what I'm going to say this morning. Now, let me begin by saying this, that, and this may be like it's getting off the subject, but did you know that this aspect of the Holy Spirit's work, now the Holy Spirit works with unsaved people to convict them. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, to come to earth and to convict man of his sin and to present unto him open eyes that he might see his lost condition and that he might be offered salvation through Jesus Christ and then provide a new birth experience in his spirit if he does accept Jesus Christ to be his Lord and Savior. Following salvation, though, the work of the Holy Spirit among God's people is to sanctify them. Now, if you really understand that, what he's saying is, it's the work of the Holy Spirit to prepare the Christian believer to be a presentable bride for Jesus Christ. We'll not be a presentable bride unless we are sanctified, unless we are made holy. And we'll see that as we go further along in this discussion of the work of the Holy Spirit. But I believe the Scriptures seem to indicate or hint that the angels are very intrigued about this particular work of the Holy Spirit with the body of believers, that is, the one body. They are very interested in what the Holy Spirit is going to do to provide for God the Son an everlasting bride. That's something new. And the angels are really interested in that program. For I imagine the angels even themselves ask the question, all right, God the Son wants a bride. I really wonder what kind of bride He wants. What are those particular traits in a human bride that Jesus would like to have? And they are very interested as they look down upon this earth to see what takes place in relationship to the Holy Spirit, the one Spirit, providing sanctification for the one body to present it to the one Lord. Now, there are several mysteries on the minds of the angels the Bible talks about. First of all, there's the mystery of their own judgment. I'll not go into this. It's a whole other subject in 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. The angels are quite puzzled as to why man, which is created lower than the angel, why man, though he himself has fallen as the angels did, why man has the right to judge angels. Then there is also the mystery of redemption, which is talked about in 1 Peter 1:12. And again in our same book of Ephesians, only this time the third chapter, verses 8 through 10, the angels are puzzled as to why man would be given the chance to be saved and the fallen angels would not be. Now, that's a question I don't really understand. I don't have an answer for. Why does God seemingly love fallen man more than He loves the fallen angels? I don't have an answer for this, and I'm not sure the angels have an answer for this. Why should God's grace be bestowed upon sinful man and not God's grace be bestowed upon fallen angels? I don't know this. And I believe that's a mystery to the angels. But I believe the real mystery that concerns the angels regarding the Christian believer and the way the Holy Spirit works in their life concerns their role of being made into the bride of Christ. I think it'd be interesting to watch a servant at work trying to choose a bride for Isaac. Now, that to me would be interesting. I'd just like to watch him work. How would he go about picking out a girl? How would he be sure that the girl would suit Isaac? What would he do with her? What would he tell her? What would he school her in? What would he try to change about her before he got her and Isaac the gift? I believe that would be interesting to watch, how he thought and how he worked and how he planned and the things that he tried to accomplish. Now, I believe that's exactly the angels' position as they look now upon each believer and see the Holy Spirit beginning to pick a bride for Christ. Of course, the one bride of Christ is the one body. Every believer, every Christian is a part of the bride. I know there's one denomination that says if only their members are going to be the bride of Christ. Well, I don't believe that. I believe everyone who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, given a new birth, is automatically placed into the one body, and thereby the one body becomes the bride of Christ. But now, what kind of bride is the Holy Spirit trying to make and produce and find for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, the church is the bride. And what is there in the church that, talking about now not the church building, but church people, what is there in the body of believers that the Holy Spirit needs to work upon to produce the kind of bride that Christ would like to have in union. Now, as the angels look at this, they say, well, first of all, man's very undesirable. I mean, he's not bride material for a holy God. That's one problem. And that's where the mystery begins. Why would God Almighty want to accept a blemished person, even though they were born again, and even though indwelled by the one Spirit, why would God want to accept us, the redeemed, as an eternal? Why would the king want to take a queen? Jesus is called the Lord. That means the king. Why would he want to share his throne with the queen? He never has before. God has always been God. He's always been the king. Why on earth would he want to share his throne with fallen man? Why would he want to take a fallen man to be his lifetime partner, that is God the Son? These are mysteries to the eyes of the angels. Now in 1 Corinthians 11:10, the Bible says that woman was created for man. And I'm going to say something you probably never heard and you may not agree with, but I personally believe, because redemption was in the plan of God even before creation. We know that. And it says here that woman was created for man. I believe that redeemed man was created in the mind of God to become the bride of Christ. Now that's my feeling. Just as man was created, or woman was created for man, the believer, through redemption, was created to become the bride of Christ. Now, woman, the Bible says, was created for man. For this cause, because of this arrangement, for this cause ought the woman to have power on her head. That is a covering. Why? Because of the angels. Now, that text has puzzled a lot of people. And I'm not sure I have all the answers on that text. But here we find Paul saying that a woman should wear a covering over her head because the angels are looking on. Now that doesn't make sense in modern day America. But you would have to live in that time to understand what he was talking about. What was the purpose of wearing a covering or something over your head as a woman? He's talking about in the church. As you are publicly on view in the church assembly, the women should wear a covering over their head because the angels are looking on. Now that doesn't make any sense, does it? All right. The covering over the head was an Oriental custom that denoted submission to the husband. A woman who sat by her husband or walked with her husband or was with her husband that had her head covered indicated by that she was submissive to his rule, that she was created for him. And I know in today's modern lib, this doesn't sound so good, but I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And I want to say this, that Jesus is looking for a submissive bride, not one of equality. And the Holy Spirit is out to make for Jesus the kind of bride that can get along with him. And I'll tell you, a submissive bride is the only kind that will ever get along with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the covering was a badge that said to the husband, primarily, that said to the husband, you are the head. I recognize you as my leader. Now, I want to say this, that when she wore the covering over her head, that was a voluntary submissive act. The husband did not glue it to her head. He did not tie it with a knot she couldn't untie. She herself deliberately, willingly, knowingly, and voluntarily put the covering on her own head, and said, I value the leadership of my husband over my own. It was a vow of submission on the part of the bride. Now, that is the initial step that the believer comes into to be a part of the one body, the vow of submission. Jesus, I will submit myself to you. I will give my life to you. I will say I do give away all that I have and all that I am and all that I will ever be, and I agree to become your property. Just like in marriage. Just like in marriage. You have already, as a Christian, gone through the forerunner. You've already practiced this matter of submission just to get to become a child of God and to become a part of the one body. Now, this is a vow of submission on the part of the believer that really intrigues the angels. Now, it's interesting in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verses 5 and 6, this statement. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow to God than that you would vow and not keep it. And neither say before an angel that the vow you have made was a mistake. Now, the angels are looking on to see if you really think, as the bride, that a submissive vow is worth keeping. They're really interested in this. Man didn't keep his vow, first of all, to God in the garden. And the angels are looking on now and saying, well, I wonder if they're going to keep this vow. This vow to be the bride of Christ. I wonder if they're the kind of people that are going to submit. They never have submitted to God since they fell. Now, this matter of submission intrigues the angels because, you see, that's what caused the devil to fall, who was Lucifer, a good angel, ceased to submit to God's rule and he fell. This matter of submission is very interesting to the angels. It's the key turning point. It's the key role on the part of the Christian person. Angels are curious to know just what kind of submission it is that Jesus wants. What kind of submission is it that Jesus finds desirable in a bride? This question of submission, you see, is much on their minds because it was the first sin in the Bible of Satan. And so just what kind of submission does Jesus want? Now that's the question, you see, that the Holy Spirit's trying to reveal in the bride he's preparing for Jesus. Now, the angels know that fallen man's selfish. Oh, I know this is a new day and we have a new spirit, a new heart, and we're not supposed to be selfish anymore. We know that there are things about fallen man that would make him or her very unattractive to Christ. And they're interested in just how can the Holy Spirit produce within a person like that who was once selfish and who was once unattractive and even once wicked, how can the Holy Spirit make that person submissive? And submission becomes the key to change. What kind of bride will Jesus Christ get out of you? Well, everything hinges on submission. And so the angels are intrigued as to whether or not the Holy Spirit can get you submissive. Now, everyone who gives their life to Jesus Christ begin submissively. Then the Holy Spirit comes in on that note of submission to Christ and begins to work with that, seeking to prepare for the Son the kind of bride he would like to have. And the more we submit to the work of the Holy Spirit in our life, the more attractive Christ will become as the bridegroom, and the more attractive to Christ the one body will become as the bride. Today you hear a lot of talk among Christians about being justified through Christ. And you hear a lot about being glorified in the future at the resurrection of the body and the return of the Lord. But you don't hear enough today in the church about the beautification work of the Holy Spirit. Redemption for the believer is past tense. And glorification for the believer is future tense. But beautification of the believer, that's present tense. That's an everyday event. Now, the Holy Spirit is given the job by Christ to beautify the bride, for she's brought back to Him. It was the job of the servant to get that bride for Isaac in shape before he got back to Isaac. It was the work of the Spirit, it is the work of the Spirit, to present to Christ the kind of bride He wants before the wedding. It's not the work of Christ to change the bride after the wedding. It's the work of the Spirit to prepare the bride before the wedding. Now, Jesus has already said the kind of bride He wants. Now, notice Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Christ gave Himself to the church that He might sanctify it. Now, He tells you right there what He wants. He wants to be able to change every believer that gives their life to Him. And He wants to present to Himself. Now, notice the kind of bride Christ wants. And I'll talk about this next Sunday morning, the Lord willing. He wants to present to Himself what? A glorious church, a bride, the body of Christ, a glorious church. And He lays down three things He wants in His bride. Number one, He says, I don't want her to have any spots. Number two, I don't want her to have any wrinkles. And number three, or any such thing. Now, I believe free of spot means I want her free of outward contamination. When He says I want her to be free of wrinkles, I think He's talking about inward contamination. And free of faults, I think He's talking about both inward and outward limitations. Now, He lays down a tremendous task for the Holy Spirit. He set up a tremendously difficult goal for the Holy Spirit to reach. But the Holy Spirit, being the one Spirit, having all power in His control, says to Jesus, I'll find the bride, bring conversion, and then produce of you a bride free of spot, free of wrinkle, and free of fault. I think of all the work to the Spirit, the one that's most delightful to the Son today, is the beautifying work upon the bride. Now, God the Father promised the Son a bride if He'd come to earth and die upon the cross. And Jesus, I think, was intrigued by that idea. Now, God the Father says, Son, I'll see to it that you get a bride, an everlasting queen. And then God the Spirit said, all right, God the Father will give you a bride, but I'll tell you what, son, I'll give you a beautiful bride. Amen. I'll give you a beautiful bride. I'll give you something that'll thrill your heart. I'll give you something that'll be dear to you. I'll give you something that you'll be proud of. I'll give you something that you want. I'll give you a beautiful bride. And I personally believe it's the beautiful bride that is the main idea behind the word, the one Spirit, mentioned in Ephesians 4:4. It's the work of the one Spirit to produce the one beautiful bride that will become the queen to the Lord of heaven. And the son is very concerned about the success of the spirit. Wouldn't you be? I mean, if the spirit was picking you a bride, wouldn't you be interested in his success? Now, we won't talk next Sunday morning about the three beauty marks of the bride. Free of wrinkle, free of fault, and free of spot. And we hope that you'll tune in, because I believe these are some of the more important messages that you as a Christian ought to hear and come to understand. We're trying to show how we are like, Brother Saint. And I believe we will do this if we'll come to understand how the Holy Spirit is at work today in our lives.